State Senator Ryan Fazio joins us on the show this morning. Two very hot button topics in Connecticut right now are electric bills that are incredibly high and cell phone restrictions in the classroom. Sounds like we're going to start with those electric bills. Senator Fazio, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Melissa. How are you?
I am doing fine. Thank you so much. First of all, Senator Fazio, tell people if you can start with that, actually, just to set the tone. You are on the Energy and Technology Committee here in Connecticut, correct?
Correct.
So talk to us if we could even just see from your perspective, do you believe a special session is actually going to happen? Because we're now hearing rumblings that the governor is very open to this idea of a special session to find solutions to this issue of these very high electric bills, and they're about to get higher on September 1st.
I don't know if there'll be a special session. I mean, I and other Republican colleagues have called for one. We, you know, introduced a plan that we're confident will reduce electricity costs. I co-authored that plan really 2 years ago, and we have updated it occasionally, including in the last 2 weeks. As the situation has changed. But I'm obviously calling for one, and my Republican colleagues are. And the governor, both publicly and in conversations, has expressed openness. But the governor has the authority to call it. And the legislature, if there is a majority of legislators who are open to it, can also call it. So I'm not going to prognosticate whether it will happen. I just know there's uniform Republican support for a special session, for bringing people together and trying to address this problem in policy.
And I want to just recap for people, if you weren't aware of it, or maybe you haven't checked your electric bills, because I will say, Senator Fazio, it's interesting. I was saying the other day, we were having a bonfire at my parents' house, and I'm one of five kids, and almost all of us live in Connecticut, and none of us are affiliated with the same political party. You know, none of us are affiliated, period. But some of us lean right, left, down the middle, you know, whatever. So what I'm getting at is we don't all have the same political views, but we all pay our electric bills. And my siblings, who are all under the age of 40, were ripping about their electric bills. And I sat there and I looked at my husband and I said, first of all, they should be listening to their sister's radio show. They'd know about what's going on here. The second thing, though, I said was, this is a perfect example of why this is not a political issue. This is what is right for the Connecticut resident, the average Connecticut resident. My sister, for example, who lives in Farmington, she lives in a 2-bedroom condo. Why her electric bills went up to what it would be for a single family home is ridiculous in a month. And for lawmakers and even the energy companies to say, oh, it's because it was so extremely hot. Baloney. I'm sorry. That is certainly an aspect of it. But you don't see that big of a hike in a month's time because we had a couple weeks stretch of hot weather. And to say that to Connecticut residents and say, well, we need to conserve energy better. That is, to me, one of the biggest slaps in the faces.
Yeah, I think it's tone deaf. I mean, set aside the changes month to month, Connecticut has the third highest electricity rates in the country, after Hawaii, which is an island, and after California, which politically has kind of lost its mind. So there's something we're doing wrong uniquely here in Connecticut. Our neighboring states don't have electricity rates that are as high as us. And there are government policies that are inflating the cost here. You see the public benefits portion of your bill. That is the cost of government policy decisions. Now, some of those should exist, but others shouldn't. And some should be rolled back. And that's part of our proposal, that those charges should not necessarily be in your electricity bill, because that's a hidden tax. And those costs should not be as exorbitant as they are. So there are actionable proposals to actually reduce Connecticut's electricity costs compared to our neighboring states. Again, the third highest electricity cost in the country after California and Hawaii is not an acceptable situation. And so I think people in government should lead. They should act. And that's why we're calling for immediate action in a special session.
So we have Senator Ryan Fazio here. He represents the 36th District, which includes Greenwich, Stamford, and New Canaan. He also is the ranking member for the Energy and Technology Committee. You know what I find really shady about this, Ryan, is when I had Eversource on the show, they exclusively spoke with us back in the beginning of August when people noticed that that section that went up on their bills substantially, that public benefits section. They came on our show. They agreed to come on, and we spoke with them. And I asked them point blank, did we know this was going to happen? Because it felt like a lack of transparency. It felt like people had no idea this was coming. He admitted that they knew this was coming in December. You know what I find sketchy about that? If we knew this was coming, why didn't we talk about it during the legislative session? Because I just had Representative Steinberg on last week, and I said to him, why wouldn't we use American Rescue funds to pay back our utilities, for example? I said, why are we going to dump all of that into education just to be at a higher deficit at the end of this school year and cut more school funding because we're not going to have ARPA funds anymore? And he said, that's a great point. But unfortunately, we've already put all of that money into education and people are relying on that. Well, gee, I wish we would have known that our bills were going to go up so substantially if only somebody could have said something during the legislative session. Am I the only one that feels that way? I mean, that to me just felt like, hello, we just didn't even want to give people the chance to say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. If we're just going to cut these programs anyways, why are we going to dump all this money into education when it's just going to go away and hurt us even more when we could pay back our utilities a little bit? We could help the people who are now going to spend astronomical amounts on their electric bills, who, by the way, don't deserve it. Not all of them, because they did pay during the pandemic. Not everyone, but a lot of people did.
Yeah, if only House and Senate Republicans in January had come to the table and proposed using one-time federal ARPA dollars to pay down the one-time public benefits charge from the unpaid bills. We did propose that, and it was rejected by the majority. I mean, your electricity rates, if we had accepted our proposal that we proposed in January, electricity rates in this period would have gone down, not up. That's a fact. And so instead, they chose to use those ARPA dollars for continuing expenses, for continuing government bureaucracy, which is a cardinal sin in finance, public finance or otherwise, using one-time dollars on recurring expenses. You know, so now people's electricity bills are up and our, you know, future budgetary outlook is negative. This is just one bad decision after another. It didn't have to be this way. Now we're in a far worse situation because we don't have those dollars available to us when they were there to pay down those arrearages, to pay down those one of those public benefits charges. But we still have to move forward. That's why we're proposing a special session, because even though the capacity for immediate relief has been kind of spent down by the governing majority, there's still policy options to reduce costs for the medium term and the long term, and we still got to do those because, right, you know, the medium term today is going to be today, tomorrow.
State Senator Ryan Vozzio is here representing the 36th district that includes Greenwich, Stamford, and New Canaan. And Senator Vozzio and I we've talked about this before, the importance of restricting cell phone use in the classroom, especially for younger kids. I mean, middle school, elementary school. I know high school can be a little challenging. But, you know, Senator Vozzio, I'm confused. I thought we were starting this pilot program that you essentially got passed because you had sponsored the bill behind this. This pilot program was going to have a handful of schools try out this idea of handing in the phone at the beginning of the day, getting it back. Stamford was one of the districts. I was ready for this. This was supposed to start this year. And now there's this new guidance that came out. I feel like at the federal level, there's calls for more and more states to have their schools get rid of cell phones. I'm not opposed to it, but I just feel like it's sort of becoming like a free-for-all. Whatever people want to do. But I thought the whole point of the pilot program was to see how it went, sit down, talk about it, put a study together, you know, get some takeaways, and then put something universal in place for all of our public school districts. I'm not sure if I have that right, but I just didn't know your take on the developments since we spoke about this about 6 months ago.
Yeah. So again, for your listeners, in my first year in office, which was 2022, my first legislative session, Senator Heather Summers and I co-authored and passed a new law that was going to implement pilot interventions in several middle school districts across the state. Some of those districts would see no change to their cell phone policy. Others would have certain educational programming about the risks for the kids. and others would take away the cell phone during the school day. And then we would review what the effects of the intervention is across those different treatments for mental health and for academics. And obviously our hypothesis was that these are not good for kids in mental health or academically. And so we'd probably see results that way. But it's being rolled out this school year in several districts across the state, middle school districts in particular. And we're hoping that the results next year would inform policy decisions for not just the state, but hopefully the country, because we think this is a first in the nation type intervention that's organized and informative. So, yes, I guess it feels like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing in our state. This is a state government intervention, but then we're getting a Department of Education policy change at the same time, recommending cell phones be taken out of school during the school day. I guess I would have liked to confer with our academics who are administering the program and the Department of Education in the state at least beforehand. And I don't know that happened. I don't think it happened. But listen, I think in 10 years or 5 years even, you're going to see the most school districts in the country take away cell phones during the school day. That's my prediction. It seems like the evidence is piling up that it's bad for students' mental health. It's bad for academic achievement. And obviously, as you said, you're seeing a lot of school districts in Connecticut start to introduce that intervention as well. So this year will be an interesting year. I do wish there was more coordination in Connecticut. It's a little frustrating, but I hope this does not confound the results of the study and that we initiated, and I hope all of this goes in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I guess the way that you could look at it is like, so Darien, for example, is in our news today that they are the latest school district to say they're banning them basically for middle and elementary school, which again makes sense. I don't know what I have not heard any good that has come from an elementary or middle school student having a cell phone. And even the parents who are like, oh, I really think, you know, for safety reasons, I'm sorry, baloney. It's different if you're talking about high schoolers. That's a lot, I think, more challenging. And I think that's a whole different can of worms, if you will. But up until eighth grade, I just don't really see, and nobody really can give me an answer on that as to why you can't just contact the school if there's an emergency or something, or how much are you really going to get out of a fourth or fifth grader. So I guess if you've got school districts saying, hey, you know what, I don't need a study, I don't need a pilot program, I already have enough to say we're restricting cell phones, great. And then maybe there are districts that feel like, hey, I need to see what comes out of this study, so we're going to wait. You know, thanks for the guidance. And maybe that's what Connecticut's doing. Maybe they're like, hey, we're doing this pilot program for those who still have doubts so that we can prove that this is going to make a difference. But those who want the guidance right now and want to roll it out at the beginning of this year, go right ahead. And if that's the case, okay. Just kind of felt like it was very messy and sort of put together, and we're literally starting school, it feels like, in, you know, a week. So it just, to me, just seemed a little bit chaotic. But if it means, like you're saying, if you're projecting that maybe in the next 5 to 10 years, we are living in a time where most school districts have no cell phone use in elementary or any middle school classrooms, then the goal will be reached. Because I've not heard one parent, other than for safety reasons, which again, when you go back and you say, okay, but when you're talking about even up to eighth grade, what can your preteen or child do for you? They can't answer that. It's more for the high school level, or it's more for I want to track my kid. But the overwhelming support has been, please eliminate the cell phones from elementary and middle school classrooms. So if that goal is reached, then good, I guess.
Yeah, and again, I do think there is a lot of evidence that the influence of cell phones during the school day is negative for mental health, is negative for academic achievement. So, you know, our study, our intervention in Connecticut is going to be kind of gold standard type intervention, first in the nation type intervention. So it's going to provide strong evidence in the literature, maybe the strongest evidence in the country amongst the existing literature, but I still think the existing evidence is pretty strong. So, you know, I don't blame Greenwich or Darien for going ahead and doing it as is. And, you know, I know there's a lot of support amongst parents in my district in Greenwich for the recent announcement. But, you know, I have seen opposition too. You know, I think the normal, you know, policy kind of response that, hey, you could have the analog cell phones, you can have the flip phones, for instance, that you and I probably remember from back when we were teenagers. You can have those in school for purely communicative reasons. It's really the smartphones that are the problem. But, you know, if you purely are concerned about communication, then flip phones probably fine. But, you know, the vast majority of the time that phones are being used in schools, it's for the apps, it's for the social media,
correct,
it's for the internet, it's not just for communication. And so that is a totally reasonable concern for leaders and administrators and policymakers, and for kids who need to flex those social muscles,
yes,
in school when they're around their peers, because we're seeing such a rise in loneliness and isolation in mental health problems for our youngest generation, and the idea that social media and smartphones are not contributing to that is, you know, belies facts, belies reasons. So I am excited. You know, maybe it's a little messy, but I am hopeful that, you know, we're going through a realization in amongst our policymakers, amongst our culture, that we have to do better by our kids.
Senator Fazio, I want to thank you so much for coming on, talking about two very important topics that are on the minds of many Connecticut residents. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Anytime, Melissa. Thanks a lot.